This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
Hey, y'all. It's Sophia. I'm hosting the Q&A with the Dean this week. Hope you had a lovely spring break. As always, I'm joined by Dean Melissa Grisolfi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So after spring break, like the rest of the school year just like is gone just like that. What kind of plans do you have like before the school year fades away?
Do you mean personal plans or plans for res colleges?
For res colleges, like Commons Cup or just general events.
Well, you're right. The second part of the semester does go really, really fast. So we'll only have, 5 weeks before the semester's over. So what are some things happening in res colleges? So many things. So we always have a weekly dean's dinner, and we'll continue to have those through the end of the semester. As well as we have a series called Explore Nashville, where we go all around Nashville. And so we have a Predators game coming up, and we'll be going to see The Color Purple at TPAC. So there's some really neat things happening there. Another big thing that Res Colleges does is Residential Colleges is in charge of all of the orientations that happen for undergraduates. And so March and April is when we do all of the orientation leader training. So the Viewceptors who help lead visions, the people who help lead international student orientation and transfer student orientation. So we have lots of meetings and orientations for that. But then also, as you mentioned, the Commons Cup. So we announce the winner of the Commons Cup at the block party, which happens at the end of the year in April, always on a Sunday. And I can't remember which day it is this year. It's possibly April 13th, but I don't remember. Right towards the end of the semester. And it's always really fun. It's kind of a carnival theme. We'll announce the winner of the Commons Cup.
Very exciting. Do you have a favorite for this year?
I never have a favorite. Nope. They're all wonderful.
I figured. I thought I should ask. Viewceptors have been facing a lot of changes. I know that they've wanted an increase in the stipend, or maybe even getting a stipend. Were they unpaid before like this?
So Viewceptors are part of a student organization called Viewcept. So student orgs, you're not paid, right? Because you are a self-governing body.
Do you think that that will affect the amount of people who sign up to be Viewceptors?
Well, so one of the things that happened this year is that Viewceptors, all orientation leaders, will now receive an award over the summer for their participation in a summer leadership training institute. So that's a change for all orientation leaders. So the time to submit your application to be an orientation leader has passed. But that was announced before recruitment season. But I mean, the numbers are up, so I think that was a really favorable change.
Yeah. What other changes do you see for the incoming class of 2028?
A lot of what we do every year is pretty consistent because, the transition to college has a kind of regularity or predictability to it. But this year is an election year. And so the theme of the Commons programming will be embracing the debate. So that means that we'll like sort of lean in to the ways that we help each other talk about what we think about things and talk and listen to different perspectives. So the campus reading that students will receive this summer is exactly about that. It's about how we take other people's perspectives and really start to have a legitimate exchange of ideas instead of like a hurling of accusations. So that will be, that's a theme that will guide a lot of our programming this fall. And that also was true in 2020 as an election year. So we'll do a debate series, which we always do, where we watch the debates together and, you know, have different programs around that. We always have a voter registration, you know, thing that we do, because most students on the Commons have never had an opportunity to vote in a presidential election before. So it's pretty exciting.
Nice. Can I ask what the theme was for this year? I cannot remember.
Yes, you can. And I am drawing a blank at this moment. You'd think I would know, but I've been thinking so much about next year that I cannot remember.
You know, I'm the same way all the time. yeah. That's exciting. How do you think the way that class representatives from our generation, the class of 2027, will help inform how you work with the next coming freshman class?
Like, do you mean how will they be involved?
Oh, I meant more like, has the Commons as a whole, as an institution, seen anything new or different about this class of freshmen that you think could continue into the next class?
Oh, the class of 2027 has been like an extra friendly and involved class, which has been a pleasure and a joy. So I will hope, and that has actually been a trend since COVID. It's been really interesting. So in 2020, obviously there was like a tremendous number of restrictions on what we could do because, you know, half the universities in the country weren't even in person, right? So, and in 2021, there were fewer restrictions because the university mandated, you know, vaccinations, but still people were pretty concerned about COVID. And so it was in fall of 2022 that we were just kind of back to business as usual. And students were, first year students were so excited. They were just in for anything. And I attributed that to the prior 2 years. But this fall was the same, even though, you know, everybody had had a little bit of time. Everybody had had a normal senior year in high school. And so, I mean, I really think personally that the time of needing to be quarantined and separated gave me a huge a perspective and appreciation for getting to be with other people in person. I haven't forgotten yet, and it does seem like also undergraduate students haven't forgotten that yet. And so I hope that continues to be a trend next year.
Amazing. Me too. I think that's all I've got for you this week. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and be sure to listen to next week's episode. Have a great first week back, guys.
Happy Women's History Month, Doris. I'm Sari Mohammed, your host for this week's Commons Calendar. Today, the University Counseling Center will be hosting Racial Stress Awareness Week with warm sips and deep breaths in the meditation room at the Cold Center for Student Wellbeing. Are you interested in data science or have questions about your fall course selection? Join the Vanderbilt University undergraduate data science team tomorrow, March 21st, from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. in Furman 114 for a data science minor advising session. Pizza and prizes will also be provided. Happy Racial Stress Awareness Week. There will be a block party held at the Black Cultural Center courtyard on Friday, March 22nd from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Stop by for resources, games, music, and food trucks. Join the Vanderbilt student government at Carnival for a cause for a day on Saturday, March 23rd from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Kensington Place. Carnival games, free food, and many more will be provided. Join the Sigmas for their annual soul food event on Sunday, March 24th from 2:15 to 4:15 p.m. at the NPHC House. An event you don't want to miss out on is the Night for Palestine on March 24th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. at the Student Life Center Ballroom. A Night for Palestine will be fundraising, where you will be able to celebrate the Palestinian culture and traditions. As always, Meditation Monday will be taking place on Monday, March 25th from 1:15 to 1:45 at the Center for Student Wellbeing Meditation Room. Stop by in between classes if you can. Join Vanderbilt Law School for a captivating lecture by neuroscientist BJ Cassie on Explorations in Law and Neuroscience, the Adolescent Brain, taking place on Tuesday, March 26th from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. at Moore Room. Delve into the science of adolescents' brain development and rethink justice system approaches. Don't miss this insightful event with Professor Casey, a pioneer in developmental cognitive neuroscience. Well, that's all for this week's comments calendar. Make sure to tune in on our website at mycommons.life and follow our Instagram at mycommonslife. Till next time, bye!
Hi, I'm Bree Woods, and welcome to Human of the Commons interview. Today I have with me Drew Ryan, who is an elementary education major and classical and Mediterranean studies double major. He's from Chatham, Massachusetts, and he lives in Stanbaugh House. Welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so excited.
Yes, of course. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Let's get
important
into it.
Time.
Not that important, Don't worry. So I have a couple of questions to ask you today. Some are about academics, some are about like your personal life, and then some are just like fun.
Okay.
So let's start with the academic question.
Okay, the serious ones, yes. But maybe not so serious.
Right. Okay, so I feel like people from outside the educational world, and sometimes inside, are always telling future educators reasons not to go into education. And I was wondering if you could tell me like one piece of encouragement or a moment you found inspirational that like keeps you motivated to pursue education.
Oh, that's a good one. I see it as, and I think I'm going to quote a TV show on this because I think it works so well. If anyone has seen the show Abbott Elementary,
yes.
They say in the show, because they're talking about how, you know, how difficult education can be, especially like primary elementary education. Mm. And one of the teachers goes, it's a calling and you answered. And I think that's a great way to put it. I mean, like, I don't think anybody could be a good teacher. I think anyone could be a teacher, but to be like a good teacher, to be there for your students, like, I think that there's a certain like innate part of you. And I think to recognize that and to tell people that and be like, you will be a good teacher. Like, yeah. You answered this calling, like, this is for you. Like that beats all the negative people saying you're not going to make enough money,
right.
Or like, you know, like, do you think you can really do that? It's a calling.
That's
you and I answered.
Wow. Okay. Right off the bat, giving us inspiration, giving us, you're going to take over the world,
yes.
Take the world by storm.
Exactly.
You're going to get like the Apple Award. I don't know what that is. I just made it up, but it seemed like
it sounds like a teacher thing.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Cool. Wow. Okay. So my second question has to do with your other major,
okay.
Classical and Mediterranean Studies. So your path to declaring Classical and Med Studies was not the typical one. I know that last semester you started with, like, was it a 2,000 or 3,000 level course in the, like, major?
Yeah, so I took two.
Mm.
And I had one in the 3,000 and one in the 2,000.
Wow. But now that you've declared, you like have to take Intro to Mediterranean
yes.
Studies.
Yes,
and
I do.
So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how like jumping up to higher level courses to now going back to the basics has been. Like what context do you bring to the class now that like this was your way into the major?
It's going to sound strange, but I feel like it's harder. Because like I was going so specific in my classes, especially my 3,000, like it was women, sexuality, and the family in ancient Greece and Rome. And that is just so specific.
Yeah.
And now you have to go to like a general class, and it's a very interesting class, and I love the professor, and I'm enjoying it a lot. But I feel like it's more difficult because I want to like hyper-focus on like these certain, you know, we talk about Egypt for like a day, which is, you know, it's structured that way on like for a purpose. And like, I think that's a good point. Like there's a lot to cover, so we can't spend days and days and days. So
right.
We'll spend like, it was more than a class, like a week. But like, you know, like I want to know everything about Egypt.
Right.
And I didn't get to do that. And it's like harder for me to like be okay with that, I guess. But I love everything about it. I love everything about the major. I won't be really utilizing it in my career, maybe, because I can't really teach like Greek myth to like 6-year-olds. Like,
no, you totally can. You can just like stock the library with kid versions of myths.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, some of them are very violent.
Yes, very, very violent. I don't know how that would work.
Oh, darn. I was going to ask a follow-up,
but oh, no.
I don't remember. That's okay. Well, moving on to my next question, okay. I guess. If you could design your own travel course, where would you go and what would you study?
Oh, wow. Oh, that's such a good question. My own travel course.
Yeah.
I think I would do, and this is going to sound kind of basic because like Italy is like, especially for classics, like you go to Italy, you go to Rome, but I wouldn't just go to Rome. I feel like you would have to just like do all of like Italy, like hit a bunch of places.
Yeah.
Like Florence, Milan, you go to Rome, you go to Naples, you go to Positano, you go to Pompeii, which like I would include in the Naples part. But there's so many things you have to hit. And then, you know, like the countryside, like I think there's so much there.
Yeah.
That like going to Rome, while amazing and while vastly like important, it's like, it's not all about Rome. I know all roads lead to Rome, but it's not all about Rome. There's other places.
Right. Let's look at the roads.
Yeah. Let's look at the roads. There's places on those roads before they reach Rome.
Exactly. What would you like study?
What would I study? I think just like the history of Italy going back from like its beginnings, like before Rome was like a big deal. So like when you have like these like little groups of Italians, but they're not calling themselves Italians, and like they're in that region, to like the empire and then the fall of the empire, and then move up and can like to contemporary times.
Yeah,
I mean, like a lot has happened in like Italy that like, you know, we focus on like the Roman Empire, but there's so many like interesting things that have happened since then.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I feel like I would, if I were like doing like the Mediterranean area, I would, like, my course would be called, like, Looking for Troy.
That would be a good one.
And I would just, like, pretend to look for Troy and just go to a different bunch of, like, vacation spots.
Well, we have, like, the general location of where Troy is, could be whatever Troy was.
Just gonna, like, look for evidence.
Look for evidence of Troy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm gonna look for the horse.
Bring the Song of Achilles along.
Oh, yeah. Trust. Annotated.
Yep, yep.
Highlighted.
Exactly.
Marked up.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. I remember my follow-up question from before.
Okay.
I wanted to quickly ask you, I know it's kind of early, but in elementary education, I know that your path throughout these next 3 years is pretty like defined.
Yes.
And I was wondering, is your path in like classical and med studies defined? Like, do you know where you want to take this major throughout the next, like throughout your undergraduate career?
I honestly just want to learn as much as I can. Like, I'm a huge history fan, and while I don't know like how much it will be incorporated into like my education, or like my education to be an education teacher, like an educator, especially like with such young kids, but like I feel like the lessons we learn from like Mediterranean studies like are important.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not just about like reading Homer. There's a lot of messages in like social and political and everything you can learn about them that like applies to us contemporarily and like our future. Like, I think, to sound like a scholar, the past is the way to the future.
Clock it.
Yeah, I really clocked it with that one.
Well, thank you so much for answering those questions.
Yeah, of course.
Now to move into like more, it's not like personal, like,
okay,
like intrusive questions, but they're just like not about school,
okay,
or about anything else. So you're from Massachusetts.
Yes.
And am I correct in assuming that coming to Vanderbilt for college is the first like extended stay you've had in the Southeast region?
Yeah, my first.
Wow. Okay. So I was wondering if you could tell me about any culture shocks you felt or maybe still sometimes feel.
My Massachusetts slang. Like,
oh my.
It catches people off guard.
Give me three words.
Okay. So you guys have water fountains.
Yeah.
In Massachusetts, those are called bubblers. Bubblers. Like, you know, like.
Okay. But where are the bubbles? Anyway.
It's not. Like, it's just like, I'm going to go get some water from the bubbler. Okay. Like, it just sounds more fun.
Okay.
Oh, this is a good one. You guys call them roundabouts?
Yeah.
We call them rotaries.
That's...
And I will stick to rotary. Like, okay. I will change to water fountain, but I will stick to rotary.
Oh, rotary is where you draw the line.
Rotary is where I draw the line. Draw a circle, you mean?
Oh, yes. Excuse
yeah, I have
me.
To draw the circle. I'm drawing that circle at rotary, not roundabout.
Okay, give me one last word.
One last. This is not a word. This is more just like a Massachusetts thing. Mm. And that is Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts is such a big deal. Mm-hmm. And to find out here that like it's not a big deal is terrifying. Like it goes against my belief system.
Right.
As someone coming from Massachusetts.
Wow. Speaking of Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes.
How does Dunkin' compare here to Dunkin' back home in Mass?
I have to tread lightly so Dunkin' doesn't cancel me because I go there every day. It tastes better in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. It doesn't taste bad here. Mm-hmm. But like, at least where I am in Massachusetts, like it tastes so good.
Okay.
And here it's just like.
There's something in the water.
Exactly. No, it's like you go from like. I'm going to compare. This is a horrible comparison. I'm going to get canceled for it. But like a 2 Michelin star restaurant, you're down to 1 Michelin star.
Wow.
I know.
That's a big jump.
I know.
It's still a Michelin star though.
But to compare coffee to Michelin star restaurants, like that will cancel me. Gordon Ramsay is knocking on my door.
Oh my gosh. He's right
here. He's right here.
He's in the studio. But actually, I think low-key Dunkin' in Louisville is worse than you could ever imagine a coffee shop.
No Michelin star.
No.
What about the Yelp reviews? Like, how are they?
Probably 0.
Oh,
they
no.
could do that. No, I'm kidding.
I'll taste test and I'll report back.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
My next question has to deal with writing.
Okay.
I know that you're a writer and you particularly enjoy writing poetry.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could talk about how you use poetry as a creative outlet, an emotional outlet, and how your relationship to poetry has changed or stayed the same since coming to college.
Okay. I might have to get real with this.
Let's get real.
Okay, we're
down
to get real. Okay. I use poetry like to relieve all like the stress and like angst, I guess you could say. All that stress, all the angst, all that depression, get it out in writing. Mm. And I think it's a creative and a healthy way to do it. So I write not every night, but I probably write or try to write probably 2 or 3 times a week at least.
Wow.
This week I've done it like Monday through today. So or I haven't
okay.
done it today.
40-hour work week.
40-hour work week.
Back to back in that Google Doc.
Yep. In that Google Doc. I am writing. I am typing a storm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Has it changed? I think it has changed since I got into college. Mm. I think I've started to like write in different styles.
Oh, okay.
And write about, not really about different things, because I think like, I always kind of write about like emotions and like nature and like mm. those two often connect, but like in different ways. Mm. So like instead of being just like sad, which is a lot of them, like I've tried to like incorporate like not anger. I don't think that's the right word for it, but just like have more of an edge to it.
Yeah.
Or just like I've also, this is recently, like the last like 2 weeks, like just more like first person and like really like about me and my growth.
Mm.
And I don't think I would be writing like that if I wasn't at college here, you know?
Yeah, that's so insightful. Wow.
Thank you.
Cool beans.
Cool beans.
Yes.
I love that.
Okay, now for the fun questions.
Okay.
As you all know, if you've listened to any of my interviews before, I love co-opting Letterboxd, like, interview style of interviewing celebrities on the red carpet and
yes.
asking them their 4 top, like their 4 favorite movies. And so for each guest, I ask you all to tell me a top 4 of blank.
Mm-hmm.
And so your top 4 movies, because, well, first let me ask, are you an active Letterboxd user?
I am such. Letterboxd is my Twitter. And that's not an exaggeration.
Mm-hmm. Tell
like,
me.
I'm using that every day.
Are you an avid movie watcher?
I'm an avid movie. I hit. So I've had the app. We're going deep. I've had
okay,
the
yes,
app
let's do it.
Since like mid-July of 2022.
Oh
And now it's what, March of 2024. Mm-hmm. In that time span, I've watched over, I think I'm at like over 300 movies. I don't think I'm at 310 yet. I think I'm at like 36 or 37. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then like you have like the movies you watch, but then like I've done a lot of rewatches because like I love my favorite movies. So I think like diary entries, they call them. I think I have like 350.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you're definitely up and down that app.
I am up and down that app. For you. I pay for it.
Oh my gosh.
There's tiers. So like you can just have the app. You can be a pro or you can be a patron. So I pay like $20 a year to be a pro.
Wow.
So I can look at like my stats and stuff.
Dedication.
It's dedication. That. I'm not yet dedicated enough to be a patron, but I've thought about it recently. Once I hit 300, I was like, is it time to do $40 a year? Or is that too crazy?
Yeah.
Well, I think it might be too crazy, but we'll see.
You can reassess.
I can. Exactly.
Yeah.
400 movies. I'll reassess.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
So basically, there is a theater very close to campus. Yes. What's it called?
It's called the Bell Court.
Yes, the Bell Court.
And I love the Bell Court.
Yeah. So you've been to the Bell Court lots and lots of times.
Yes, I have.
Lots and lots of movies.
Yes, I have.
So I want you to tell me your top four movies you've seen at Bell Court.
Top four movies I've seen at the Bell Court. Okay. Do I have to rank them? Because I think...
No, you don't have to rank them. Order doesn't matter. Just
order
give me
doesn't matter.
Your top four.
So when you and I and Andre and Andre's sister Bianca went to go see Friday the 13th, the fourth one, the final chapter, which was not the final chapter. I'm saying it here
he
and now.
Back.
He came back. At like midnight. And technically then it was Saturday the 14th, but... That doesn't matter. That was just so fun.
Yeah, that was a great
time. That
experience.
Was a great time. And then it was fun. Ooh, it was fun going to see the movie Bottoms there because that was a funny movie and like it was a good place to see it. And that was a lot of fun. It was fun seeing The Exorcist there. I've seen that movie a lot and I've never found it scary. But, like, that was the first time where I was like, it is a little freaky. And I think that's because, like, the sound in the movie theater is so much better than, like, the TV in my room.
Yeah.
Where it was a lot more, like, what's the word? Like.
Immersive.
Immersive. Exactly. It was a lot more immersive. And then this is my number one, and this is, like, truly my number one, was going to see Hocus Pocus at midnight.
Oh.
Hocus Pocus is one of my favorite movies. You were also there.
I was there.
You were there. And the guy who voiced the cat, Zachary. He was there. And that was fun. And it was just a great time. And that was also at midnight.
Yeah.
Midnight movies, I'm telling you guys. Go to the Bell Court for the midnight movies.
Oh, I think because there's a theme of Halloween movies that we went and saw during the month of October. Mm-hmm. I would like to add honorary mention of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Wait, no, I take off The Exorcist, put Rocky Horror Picture. I totally forgot about that.
Great.
That was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
That was, I can't believe I forgot about that.
That's okay.
I should be kicked out.
Get out.
I'm leaving.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing your top four.
Of course.
That was wonderful. I was like, for all of them, all of the other interviews, two I've done, they're like, they're just used Letterboxd for movie, like for format. But with you, I'm like, you're just such a classic movie watcher. Like,
I am.
It has to be about movies. Otherwise, what are we doing here?
My goal in life is to be asked by the Letterboxd people what my four movies are. I have them in my head.
We're going to get you there, trust.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. This is what I'm most excited for. So I made up a little game for us to play.
I love games.
Yes. We're going to play a fun game I call Guess That Vanderbilt Myth.
Oh, no.
Essentially, I have reframed three Greek myths you know and love as Vandy freshman experiences.
Okay.
Then as I'm telling the story and 10 seconds after, you have to guess the myth I fashioned a modern retelling of.
This is going to go so bad.
No, it's going to be great.
It's going to expose me for not really being a classics major.
No, you will. Trust. They're like so straightforward. Like, but if
we'll see.
Okay. So this is the first one.
Okay.
First year student Zeke is tasked with writing an essay for his first year writing seminar.
Mm-hmm.
He is having such a hard time with all the fully formed thoughts in his head because he doesn't know how to get them out. At the writing studio, he is able to produce a complete fully formed essay. What's this, Smith?
I'm telling you, he was able to write a completely formed essay.
A fully formed essay came out of his head.
We're talking about the Theocony and the birth of Athena.
Yes, there you go.
Okay,
good job.
Okay. She came out of his head. I won't even get into all of it.
Fully formed.
Fully formed.
Clad in armor.
Clad in armor and already a sexist. But I won't get into that.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's why I picked it. I was like, you know all about this one.
I know all about that one. See, I did need help though.
That's okay. This next one you'll get.
Oh, Zeke and Zeus. I just got that.
So like take that energy and apply it to the rest of these because they're so
big. Zeke and Zeus, I love.
Yes. It's like all of the Vanderbilt details are just so that it can be a Vanderbilt myth. Like,
right.
What's important is like the events.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Here's the second one.
Yes.
First year Harry lives in West and first year Polly lives in Hank. They've fallen madly in love, but West and Hank are so far from each other. How will they be able to spend time together? Harry devises a plan. Polly can stay at Hank during the weekdays, but will spend the weekends with him in West.
The Hymn of Demeter?
Mm-hmm.
Way oversimplified. You're making it like Romeo and Juliet, and it's not.
Okay, excuse me. This is a 20-minute podcast, and we've reached 20 minutes. So,
oh, no.
No, I promise it's fine.
Kick me out.
No, we can go over. But yes.
Drag me to the underworld.
There we go. Hades and Persephone.
Walk it.
Two for two. Look at you go. Okay, here's the final one.
Okay.
Ollie is a first year who thinks he's the smartest, wittiest person he has ever met.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one night he and his friends go to the pub at the Overcup Oak. He swears he knows the Vandy Van route and tells his friends that they should take it from Rand back to Stamball. Well, they get on and have no clue where they're going. They're now lost, and his friends get off at different stops because they've given up or they think they're home. He finally gets back to Hank Ingram Circle 10 stops later.
Wow. That is the true Odyssey right there.
There we go.
That is the Vanderbilt Odyssey.
Getting on the Vandy Van and being like, wait, literally, where am I? Even though there are like 16 stops, like it's not that hard. It's a struggle.
He found his way back.
He did. What did Hannah Montana say? You'll always find your way back home.
You will. Back to Ithaca, if anyone knows what that means.
No.
Oh, that's just where his Odysseus' palace was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Penelope was waiting there. His wife.
Okay. Google didn't tell me that, so.
I'm so sorry. No, it's not important. It's only like the whole part of the story, but that's okay.
Well, anywho. Polly was waiting. That was actually Harry.
Polly was waiting. No.
Well, that's all I have for today.
That was very fun. I liked the game.
Thank you. I was like, oh, I'm cooking right now. I know
you
something
are.
That will just bring him so much joy.
It did bring me a lot of joy, and it made me feel really, the second and the third, the first one I didn't get, but the second and the third made me feel really smart and like no imposter syndrome about being a classics major.
Good. I'm glad.
My professors would probably be proud. Hopefully be proud.
I think they're proud of me.
I think they're going to listen to this and they're going to go, that's our Mediterranean and classical studies major.
Yes.
Majoree. I don't know what the term is.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I had a great time and I'm so happy I got to interview you.
Yeah, I was so excited for this.
Yay.
Highlight of the week.
Well, thanks for tuning in. Once again, I'm Bree Woods. And I was joined today by Drew Ryan for the Human of the Commons interview. Thanks for listening.
CommonsCast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to CommonsCast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.